Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My dear sisters and brothers in Christ Jesus, tourists to Bethlehem most often go there to visit the Church of the Nativity, which is said to have been built over the place where Jesus was born. They go there to Bethlehem to relive the story of a birth. This morning, we're going to go in spirit to Bethlehem to relive the story of death, the death of infant boys. In order to relive this story of death, we're going to hear the tale of two tombs. The first tale is told by the tomb of King Herod, which is located about 4 miles southeast of Bethlehem. In fact, you can see the tomb, which is in a massive fortress called the Herodium. You can see that tomb from Bethlehem. And the other tomb is that of Rachel. Her tomb is 1 mile north of Bethlehem. It's a square building, small building with a round dome. The tale of these two tombs, each of them, tells a message to us, brings a message to us. Each of them is a tale we need to hear this morning, the tale of two tombs. The tale of Herod's tomb is one of sin and wickedness. Herod was a very powerful king. He was king when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He accomplished many things, including the rebuilding of the temple. But Herod was also a very cruel king. He was married 10 times. He had 10 wives and many children, and any number of them he had put to death. That's the kind of king he was. And when he was on his deathbed, he ordered that when he died, leading citizens of various cities should be killed so that people would mourn. Not for him. They weren't mourning for Herod. They were mourning for these people who were killed. That's the tale of the tomb of Herod. Wickedness and sin. And we see that also in today's gospel. It's a story, really, of cruel tyranny. When Herod heard from the wise men that a king, a new king, was born in Bethlehem, he was furious. He was a very jealous king. He didn't want anybody displacing him. Now, the wise men did not return to Herod. They didn't go back, as he had asked them to do, to report on what they had found. They went another way back home by order of the Lord. And now Herod had to find a way to kill off this new king. And so what did he do? He ordered that all the boys under 2 years old in the area of Bethlehem should be slaughtered, should be killed. But he did not kill Jesus. Why not? Because there was a Lord more powerful than Herod. And this Lord, in a dream, said to Herod, or said to Joseph, take your family and go down to Egypt, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. And so Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Egypt. And so these children who were killed died really in place of Jesus, who was spared. His life was spared. He was rescued from this cruel tyrant. Today, we live in a world, and that's the world into which Jesus was born. We live in a world in which we see a lot of sin and wickedness. The sin of Herod has been duplicated again and again. When you study history, you see sometimes some atrocious murders. You see whole segments of a population wiped out, many more than the boys who were killed there at Bethlehem. That's the kind of world into which Jesus was born, the world of which we hear in the tale of Herod's tomb, a world of sin and wickedness. And lest we just look out at the sin of the world and the sin of Herod, we need to recognize that same sin in ourselves, that same wickedness. For in our thoughts and in our words and in our deeds, we also must confess that we are sinners. We have not committed the kind of crimes that Herod committed, certainly not. And yet, the moment we fall short of the perfection that God wants of us, the moment we fall into sin and break his law, then we also have that same guilt that Herod had. We are sinners, and we must confess that. That's the message that we hear from Herod's tomb. It's a message that says to us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The other tomb sends a different message, the tomb of Rachel. That's a message of sorrow and suffering. Rachel was the wife of the patriarch Jacob, and she had two sons. Her first son she named Joseph. Joseph later became the ruler in Egypt and the father of two of the tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh. Rachel's other son was named Benjamin. And when she brought him into this world, she herself lost her life. Rachel died in childbirth, and she was buried near Bethlehem, and that tomb is still there. Her tomb sends this message of sorrow and suffering. And Matthew, the writer of the gospel, brings this out by quoting a passage from Jeremiah. We heard that passage in the first lesson. We heard it again in the gospel, how Rachel is weeping for her children. A voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. She was weeping for the children who were born of her sons, Joseph and Benjamin, carried off into captivity, as were the people of Israel. Rachel is weeping for them. And Matthew sees that as a comparison with the weeping of the mothers of Bethlehem. And you can just imagine that these mothers who had lost their infant sons because of what Herod had done, how they must have been weeping and crying, just as Rachel was weeping and crying. That's the tale of Rachel's tomb, one of sorrow and suffering. And we live in that kind of world. We live in a world in which there is a lot of sorrow and suffering. You read about it every day in the news. There's pain, there are accidents, there are various kinds of diseases that afflict us. There are personal problems that people have. There are all kinds of things that cause suffering and sorrow. That's the message of Rachel's tomb. It's one that perhaps some of you are even experiencing in your life. We think of Christmas in this holiday season as a joyous time, and it is in many ways, but there is still that suffering and that sorrow. And when we think of those mothers of Bethlehem and think of Rachel, then we realize that there is a message here for us as well, that we live in a world of suffering and sorrow. Now, since about the 5th century, the church has set aside this day, December 28th, to remember the Holy Innocents, the Holy Innocents. These boys who were killed were not innocent in the sense that they had no sin. They also had original sin. But we can speak of them as the Holy Innocents because they did not deserve to die. These little infants did not deserve to die. And so in that sense, they are innocent. They died, really, in place of Jesus. Jesus did not die. He escaped. But these little boys, they died in his place. About 30 years later, the opposite was true. The ultimate person who was wholly innocent, Jesus Christ, died on the cross in place of these infants, in place of you and me, in place even of King Herod. He took the sin of the world upon himself. He took eternal death upon himself there on the cross, the innocent one, suffering and dying. And why? In order to relieve us of sin and wickedness, casting that out, in order to relieve us finally of suffering and sorrow. That's the message that we hear from Jesus and his cross. The tales from Herod's tomb and from Rachel's tomb, they're grim, they're dark tales. We don't like to relive those kinds of tales from those tombs. But there's another tomb. There's a tomb that tells a totally different story. It's a tomb located just south of Bethlehem, near the city of Jerusalem. But that tomb is a different tomb from the tomb of Herod and of Rachel. That tomb has no body. That tomb is one which was opened. That tomb is the tomb of Jesus, who rose from the dead in order to cancel out all of the grimness and all of the darkness of the tombs of Herod and of Rachel. And that tomb of Jesus gives us life. That tomb cancels out all that bad news and gives us the good news of hope and joy and salvation. We have that in the tomb of Jesus. And because of that, we today, even though we've heard tales from tombs that are grim, we today praise God and celebrate what he has done for us in giving us Jesus as our Savior from sin and death, from sorrow and suffering. And we join in singing, in expressing our thanks in a hymn that was written in our Lutheran hymnal. It's not in Christian worship. But it speaks of these little infants who were killed and closes with a word of praise, a doxology. And I'm going to close by reading these two stanzas. The one compares these children to rosebuds that are cut off from a bush. And then there is this praise. All hail, you infant martyr flowers, cut off in life's first dawning hours, like rosebuds snapped in dreadful strife when Herod sought our Savior's life. That's the first stanza. And then that hymn goes on to describe what God has done for us and closes with this praise. To you, Lord Jesus Christ, we raise thanksgiving and eternal praise, whom with the Father we adore, and Holy Spirit evermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.